we've got this amazing book called the Bible, and in it some letters that a man wrote, a man called Paul, and he wrote it to a place, a church in a place called Corinth. So we've got two letters he wrote several more besides, but two that we've still got, called the first letter for the Corinthians, on page 1144 in my Bible, which may not be yours. The first letter to the Corinthians.
Where are we?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2.
Nice short chapter. Good, right? Okay. And Becky's going to make notes now. Is that right, Ulf?
Or something, anyway.
Good. Well, let's just ask God's help, eh? Lord, it's your book that you've given to us. It's our treasure, but we know, Lord, that we can't get to an understanding of it unless you help us. So we pray your will, Lord, your Holy Spirit, lighten our hearts and our minds, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2, right, so Paul says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. That's a nice way of saying, when I came to you, I didn't come talking flashy language, trying to impress you with how much I knew and all of that sort of thing. He says, I just came as an ordinary fellow to tell you about God. Yeah. And the danger was for these Corinthians, they liked people who could talk big stuff, you know, flashy things. And he says, that wasn't the way I did it. No. He says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So when I came, he says, I wanted to know one thing here, and I wanted to tell you one thing. It wasn't about anything else except about Jesus, what had happened to him, and how he dying had made a place for you to be forgiven. Yeah, that's what it was about. And it's still the same message today. It's not impressive words or impressive music or anything else like that that changes people's hearts. It's knowing about Jesus and what he's done. That's what he's saying, isn't it? That was for you. That's why I did it, yeah? Came to look and tell you about Jesus and Jesus crucified. And you know, that was a terrible thing. I mean, we've got crosses we wear now, haven't we, some of us, you know? And they're all nice and shiny and sparkly and all that sort of thing. But the cross that we're thinking about in the time of Jesus was a terrible thing, yeah? It was equivalent to this sort of electric chair. It's a torture. So it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he says, you know, telling them about someone who was crucified, it sounds crazy, doesn't it, really? But it was the way God showed you how terrible sin was, because it was your sin that put him there. But it also shows you how wonderful God's love is, that he was willing to do it for you. So he says, I wanted to know about Jesus amongst you lot, and Jesus crucified. So I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling. Now, what about that for a... this man's the great apostle, but he turned up, he says, in weakness and fear and much trembling. Do you think he sounded cocky and overconfident?
No,
not at all. Why did he come in weakness? Any knows?
In prison, would he be weak? No, I don't mean that at all, no. Weak? Was he in prison at this time?
Well, he was in prison when...
Earlier on,
but not at this point, no.
The most road experience.
Yeah.
Made him realize how God was, and that didn't have anything like the power.
He didn't have God's power. But I think one of the other things that was important about Paul was he probably suffered from quite a serious illness. He talks in Galatians how his eyesight was really struggling, you know, and it was painful. And he talks later on in Corinthians how he had this, what he called his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it means, but it was painful, whatever it was. So all of that sort of made him feel, you know,
weak.
Yeah. And why did he come in trembling? Had he got some sort of trembling sickness? No.
No, he's just all shaken up.
All shaken up. Why is he shaken up when he turns up there?
Because he's weak.
Let me give you some clues, right? Previous to going to Corinth, he'd been to Athens, the university city of Greece, and there he told them about Jesus and about the resurrection. And most of them thought he was completely mad. They wouldn't believe, thought it was stupid, crazy idea. Just a few of them believed. Yeah? And so Athens was not a success. And you turn up in Corinth, and Corinth is Sin City. Remember?
Yeah.
That's the place where all the sailors go. It's where all the money is, all the commerce. People come and go. All this traffic's going through Corinth. It's Sin City. Anything went in Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he's come from the university place, and he didn't get much success there. And he turns up in Sin City, and he wants to tell them about Jesus. I think he felt, is it going to work, you know, in a way? I mean, he was trusting in the Lord, of course, but it rather just dent your confidence a bit, I think. So he came trembling, thinking about how it was going to turn out. Yeah, so he wasn't coming to impress them, he was coming to tell them about Jesus. And he said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. So, once again, he's saying is that when I told you and spoke to you, I gave you the simple truth.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing flashy, nothing trying to impress you with how much I know and how clever I am. I just told you the basic things about Jesus and who he is and what he's done. Yeah? And they weren't persuasive words. He wasn't trying to make people feel bad or good or anything else. He told them as it was. Yeah? And then he said, but it had a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Interesting. As he's telling them about Jesus, you could see God was getting hold of them. That's the thing. Yes? God was getting hold of the people who were listening, and they thought, hey, this is stuff we need to hear. And so the Holy Spirit was working in them, and he was demonstrating that by his power. And as a result, he says, I came like that way so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Put it this way. There was a chap called Mr. Spurgeon. Some of you have heard of him. A great preacher in Victorian times. One of the best preachers the world's ever known. And he came from round here as well originally. And, yes, he's born at Islam. Yeah, and preached in Water Beach and then moved to London. Anyway, a great preacher. Yeah, and one day he's walking along and there's a chap lying in the gutter and in a bit of a worse for wear. And he says, ah, Mr. Spurgeon, I'm one of your converts. He'd obviously been to the church and heard about Jesus and believed it for 5 minutes and then just gone back to the bottle or whatever it was. I'm one of your converts. And Spurgeon says, I guess you must be, sir, because if you're one of Jesus' converts, you wouldn't be where you are now. Yeah, and that's what Paul's saying is, I didn't come to persuade you about human beings, I came to tell you about God and his Son. Yeah, and your faith rests on him, not on me or my stuff. Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing for preachers, you know. Because if somebody's going to get saved, like you come to know Jesus for yourselves, it wasn't the person, although God uses individuals, doesn't he? I mean, you'd probably be able to say who it was that told you about Jesus, yeah? Right? But if, whoever the person was, I'll tell you who was talking back of him, was God. And so he says, your faith rests not on men, but on God's power. Right, so that's what he's saying. We're not trying to be smart and clever. But then he tells us this, that we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Yeah, so what he says is the stuff that is important, serious and deep, but it's not for babies in a sense. I mean, as a child you understand simple things, but life gets complicated as you grow up, doesn't it? And so there's more serious stuff and deeper stuff as you go on. And he says here, I want to tell you about the wisdom to the mature. It's not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. He's saying, I'm not going to talk to you like the politicians and the rulers, you know, with their smart, clever ideas. No, that's not what it's about. Yeah, but there is a wisdom, God's way of thinking, as opposed to the world's way of thinking. And he says, and it's a wisdom that's been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. Now, there's something really wonderful about that.
Yeah.
We've been thinking about it in Letter to the Ephesians, amongst other things. And it's this. God had a plan before time began. When did time begin?
Yeah,
when he created the world.
Yeah.
Before then, even before then, God had a plan. And the plan was to reveal his love to you and to me through what Jesus was going to do. Yeah? But it was secret until the time Jesus came. There were hints, suggestions, and you can look at it in the Old Testament now and say, ah, that's what it was about. But until God, well, you found that, haven't you? You know, how a sudden the light turns on. Oh, I get it now. Well, that's what happened when Jesus came. God revealed this plan that was there before time began. And then verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it. They didn't get this message. I mean, that God should save you and save people by making his son come to earth and die on a cross. I mean, that's completely mad, as far as the world thinks, isn't it? But the good news is, it works. God saves people through Jesus coming to die for them. It says, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have done it if they knew what was going to happen as a result of that, yeah? However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Well, he's revealed some of it, I'd like to say, but no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God's prepared for those who love him. And that's still true, even though the Holy Spirit shows us some of these things. Let me ask you, what do you know about heaven? Not a lot. It's going to be good. It's going to be fantastic. No sin. No. If you read Revelation, it all talks about what isn't there. No night, no sin, no troubles, no tears, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. Well, that's all gone, but what's in its place? Well, you could say, you know, joy and peace and blessing and fellowship with God and fellowship with your brothers and sisters whom you've seen and some of those you haven't seen before, you know. That's all there. But we've got an idea, but no eye has got it, no ears heard it, no mind begin to think about how much God's prepared for those who love him. But the good news is, also the Holy Spirit reveals some of it to us now. So let me use this lovely phrase someone said, it's not pie in the sky when you die, it's gravy on the plate while you wait. Yeah? So God's giving you blessings now. You can have a taste of heaven now. I hope you have. Yeah? When you realise how much God loves you. You know what I mean? It makes even hard nuts like me begin to feel a bit soft, you know? It's God's love for us. It's amazing. So he's saying nobody's grasped how much God's got for us, but the Holy Spirit's revealing it to us. Those are the, we could say, the deep, the wonderful things of God, yeah? Now then, God does it by his Holy Spirit. You don't get it without him showing it to you. And I'll illustrate that by when Jesus was about to go to Jerusalem, he was on the journey to Jerusalem to go and die there, he says to Peter, ask him what the disciples, he asked him a question. And the question was, what do folks say about me? Who do they think I am? And Peter said, well, he was talking for all of them, some say, like one of the old prophets, Elijah. Some say about another kind of prophet. Or others say this, others say that. Yes? And then Jesus said to him, and what do you say? You guys, you've been with me long enough. What do you think? Who do you say I am? What do you think about me? And Peter said, you're the Messiah, Christ. Yeah, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In other words, you're not just a human around here, Jesus. You are amazing, yes? You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Peter. So, Jesus got a little sticker out and stuck it on his coat, did he? And said, well done, Peter, you're a smart guy. No, he didn't say that. He said, Peter, you know, flesh and blood, human beings, human stuff, hasn't revealed that to you. It was my Father in heaven that showed you that. And he does it by the Holy Spirit. If you understand anything about God and about Jesus, let me tell you, God's done it in you. I mean, you may be clever, and I'm not knocking you down, yeah? But I'll tell you, I've met some very clever people, and they don't get it. Yeah. It's because God opens your heart and your eyes. That's how you get it. So God reveals it to us by his Spirit. And then he says this, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit is a person. You know, God has three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Complicated. That's deep, isn't it? Yeah? But the Spirit searches all things. He knows and understands and sees everything. Yeah? Even the deep things of God. So that tells you that the Holy Spirit is God. Because only God can know God. Nobody else can. In that depth that he does. Yes? So the Spirit searches the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? Yeah? What does he mean by that? It sounds rather complicated, doesn't it? Yes. He says, if you talk to people, he says, how do you know somebody? How does anybody know anybody? How do you know yourself?
Get to know.
It's your heart, your mind working inside you, isn't it? You know yourself. Mm. Well, to some degree anyway. Mm. How can anybody else get to know you?
Becoming friends.
Becoming friends? Mm. Yeah?
By what you choose to reveal.
But what you choose to reveal, that's it, yeah? They can't get any further inside than you let them in. Yeah? Of what they know about you. Yes? Right. Now, let me tell you, it's funny, but it strikes me as really interesting. There's an old preacher I used to listen to, and he said, you know, if you knew me like I know me, you wouldn't want to listen to me. Yeah? He said, but hold on, before you switch off, if I knew you like you know you, I wouldn't want to talk to you. So we'll leave the radio on, shall we? Well, he was being funny, of course. But who can know what anyone's like except we reveal ourselves? And it's the same with God. How can you know God unless he reveals himself to you? And that's the work of the Spirit. God's Spirit reveals himself to us. Just like it's in humans, we can't know unless it's been revealed to us. Same there, he says. So who knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him?
When it says the man's spirit...
Yes?
Does it mean spirit? I mean, man's made up of what? Body?
Body, mind and spirit, you say, yes. There's a spiritual part of you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
There is. But
there is.
It seems to be more the mind that this is talking about.
Yes, but he's not...
Your thoughts are in your mind.
Yes, yes. But he's talking about spiritual understanding. I think that's what he's getting at.
Right.
If you want to understand spiritual things, it's not your mind that gets them. It's the Holy Spirit that opens it up to you. Mm-hmm. And it's your spirit he's communicating with.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how do you dissect somebody to find out where their spirit is? Yeah. You can't. Yeah. We're bodies. We're minds. We're spirit. Yeah, but we're all of the piece, aren't we? You know, you can't just... chop bits off and say that's his spirit and that's not, you know.
Unbelievers, are they got spirit?
They have, but their spirit is not alive in that sense. Yeah. I mean, they're active, yeah. It's not alive to God, disconnected from God.
They let the other side rule them.
Yes, yes. So the in a person who isn't a believer in the Lord, yeah, their spirits are not connected to God. That's, and so effectively they're dead. I mean, they're not dead because they're very active, yeah. But as far as our relationship with God is concerned, it's dead. Yeah, it's when we, so he can say, like he says in other letters, you came alive when you came to Jesus. You switched on, you're connected to him. There's God's love is beginning to flow into you, yeah? So that's what he's getting at there, yeah? So there's a spiritual side to you.
Yeah, I'm interested because that's the bit that doesn't die.
No, that's right.
Your body does and your mind does.
Yeah,
but your spirit lives on, yes. And that's the bit that God's breathed into you when he created you, yeah? That's another, actually, tremendous, deep question. When does the spirit, your spirit, join your body? Somewhere when you're born, conceived, or before time, or whatever? I don't know.
Before time,
I would suspect so. It's all part of the plan, isn't it?
He knew you before the time.
Yes, he knew you before all the time started, yeah? All right, anyway, that's something to think about. That'll keep you going at night, yeah? Right, all right. Right, verse 12, we've got it, yeah? We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. And this, what he means by this, it's a little less in my translation. The spirit of the world means the way the world thinks, the way the world acts. And when I say the world, I mean it's the society that doesn't want God. A society without God, that's the spirit of the world, yeah? Yeah, so they won't want to know about the Lord, they don't want about God's forgiveness. Basically, it's I want what I want, when I want it, now, sort of thing, yeah? That's the spirit of the world, you see. So, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So God, by his Holy Spirit, has come into you, and he's turned the lights on, and he's starting to help you to get it about what things that God's got for you. He's helping you to get it now, yeah? That's wonderful, yes?
Yeah.
And don't think you've got it all in one go, because it doesn't work that way. We're in the process of growing. But God's revealing these things to us by his Spirit, yeah? And he works all these things for us, yeah? And this is what we speak. He's talking about the apostles now and so on. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Now, it all sounds very complicated, doesn't it? And in a way, it's amazing. What he's saying is, when as apostles, we're telling you about Jesus, yeah, it's not us talking. I mean, it is us talking, but God's working through us to enabling us to say spiritual truths in words that carry the message. Yes? And that's what the Bible is. I mean, it's just ordinary language, isn't it? You know, you can get dictionaries and look the words up and whatever, but what it's conveying is spiritual truth. And that comes by God's Spirit working in us and helping us to understand it, yeah? So expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words is saying that the Bible is God's way of communicating to you and me, right, and what the apostles had said, right? The man without the Spirit, who's the man without the Spirit? And the woman without the Spirit. A non-believer, someone who hasn't got the Holy Spirit working in their hearts, yeah? The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Yeah? That's sad, but it's true. Yeah, I mean, you can explain the things about the Lord, about Jesus, about God and his creation, and the man that doesn't know and doesn't believe and doesn't want to believe thinks you've completely lost the plot, you know? Yeah? Has it happened to you?
Happened
to me?
Yeah?
Yeah? Yeah, they think... And just remember this, when they tell you that you've gone completely balmy and religious, and got religious mania, that's a good one as well. Yeah. Yeah. When they tell you you've got that, it's not your problem, it's their problem they're trying to dump on you. They don't get it, and so they think you've lost it. That's it. They don't get it, so they think you've lost it. And it's, they've not got it, that's all. Right. So he says, they don't understand it. They don't get it at all. Because these things are spiritually discerned. They're not connected to God. They don't get an understanding of what God's all about. And so, when you talk to them about forgiving and loving your enemies and caring and showing love, instead of thinking about me and my all the time, you know, they think, what are they getting up to? Gone mad. And I mean, God's chosen you. I mean, you talk about, that's crazy, isn't it? God's chosen you? Well, why should he choose you? I mean, you're no good, are you? You know, they tried to say that sort of thing. Why should he choose you? That's because he loves you. But there's another reason why he's chosen you. God has chosen you in order to make you a blessing to somebody else. He's made you into a channel. That's why he chooses you. He's made you into a channel so you can bless somebody else. And that's completely contrary to the world. If you go into the world where you're thinking, if you get blessed, it's all about me. You know, I want to be blessed. Yeah, wonderful. When God says, I'll bless you, yes, but it means that you are blessed and it's good. But it means you share it. Yeah, it's good. Because God did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
God's full of all blessings. And he didn't sit there in the high towers of heaven and think, well, that's all right, I'll just sit here and forget that lot. No, he sent his son to send out the blessing. So that's how it works. The natural world, or the natural mind, doesn't get it, yeah? They're spiritually discerned. The spiritual...
We can't all be preachers, can we? We'd all be standing up there...
Well, that's right, I'd be out of a job, wouldn't I? Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's...
That'd be a group, too, actually, isn't it? Yeah?
You think you're the ones that are passing the word on, you're the most important, but we do...
We're not, no.
...the way we live, I suppose.
Yes, yeah. We're all preachers, in some way or another. I mean, some of us are doing the talking, yeah, no, that's fine, yeah, yeah, yeah. But we're all preachers in that people are watching us and listening to how we react and how we behave. And, well, the Christian should be a puzzle to the person who doesn't know Jesus. I think the way we live, the way we behave, you should be, we're not perfect, we're not there completely yet. Yeah. Yeah, we all fall short, I agree with you.
But they wait for you to make a mistake.
Yes, they're waiting for you to make a mistake, that's true as well. Yeah, yeah. But we should be a puzzle to the people around us, and they think, why do they do what they do and think how they think and say what they say? They're nice to people who are nice to them. Yeah, they want to help other people instead of helping themselves all the time. And they think, what's crazy about these things? Yeah, it's because they don't get it.
We live in that me world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the me monster. There's the children's. There was a children's slideshow. That was the old days before videos, you know, and it showed you the me monster inside the person. You know. Yeah, not very funny, really, in the reality, of course. Yeah.
POM.
Sorry?
POM.
Yeah. Poor old me. No, well, there's another word for it. Sin. Yeah, sin. You know. And what's in the middle of the word sin?
I.
That's the problem, yeah? Yeah. Anyway. I mean, God loves you as your I. I mean, he loves you as a person, you know. But the idea is that you're meant to experience his love and then let it flow. Yeah. Okay. Last little bit then. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. So, as a spiritual person, as a believer in the Lord Jesus, you start assessing things in a different way. I mean, when I became a Christian, things I thought were great aren't great anymore. Things I thought were dumb are now fantastic. You know, a change of way of seeing things. Yeah? That's the spiritual. You see things differently. Yeah? And that's how it is. We understand and we think differently. But he says, but we're not subject to any man's judgment. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they say. We know, it sounds terrible, we know we're right. That sounds so arrogant, doesn't it? But let me put it this way. Yeah? Is right right and wrong wrong? Because if it is, then if you've got the right, you're right. It's not anything to do with how clever you are. It's just that God's shown you what's right. And so, you know, if other people say, well, they're... This is one of our problems today, brothers and sisters. I am getting complicated now. We live in what's called a relativistic society. Relativistic. And what I mean by that is, they say, there isn't such a thing as truth, anything that's true. It's just true for you. Yeah? It might be okay for you, but it doesn't matter about me. I can do what I like. If you don't want to do that, well, because you think that's true, that's your truth. Yeah? There's no such thing as something that's absolutely right or absolutely wrong, as far as the modern way of thinking. Yeah, I'm sorry, it sounds really philosophical, but it's really...
Right up to date, because modern thinking is, you must believe that BGT and all that is good.
Yeah.
They're not letting you believe it if you want to.
No.
They're saying... You must believe it.
You must, yes. It's no longer acceptance. My daughter put it well this way. It's no longer acceptance. It's domination they want. They want submission from you, yeah? But if I say it's not true, yeah, they say, well, that's what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. Yeah? If it's true, it's true.
Yeah.
And you're not going to change it. I mean, it's like someone going outside and seeing the sun shining. Oh, the sun's turned blue. It's not turned blue. You can call it blue whatever you like, but it's still the same colour it's always ever been. Yeah. So, truth, the Bible makes it quite clear, and this is the thing about the Christian, is we believe there are some things that are right and some things that are wrong. And that's how the Christian heart works, and that's always how God has always intended it to be, yeah? But in our world today, what's right depends. All depends. Yeah? So that's why people try to get away with all sorts of things. Lying. I'll give you just one small example. Lying, yes. Telling the truth, is that right?
Telling the truth.
Telling the truth, is that right?
Well, yeah.
Are you sure now? Yes. Yes. Well, let me give you some examples in certain types of ways of thinking. It's okay, this is in communism and in Islam, yeah, I'll give you two examples. It's okay to tell a lie if it makes the greater cause better. Yeah? Yeah? It's okay to lie if it means that the outcome's going to be better for the party. And we see it in politics, isn't it, yeah? Yeah? Or, it's okay to lie, and Muhammad did this, a bunch of Jews in Medina, I believe it was, he says, I'll look after you. Yeah? And while he was not in power, he looked after them. But the moment he came to power, slaughtered them. Yeah? That was a good promise, wasn't it? Yeah? So all I'm saying is that's one of the sad things about the world in which we live. Lies are now part of the way of working. Yeah.
But not for us.
Not for us. God says you shall not bear false witness.
Right.
Yes.
It's in the commandments.
It's in the commandments.
Is the man who steals a peon the same as guilty as the man who steals a peon? Peon, is it
theft? It's theft, isn't it?
It's theft. So
yes.
Is it one as guilty as the other?
Yes. Guilty of theft. The consequences might be different. Yeah, the consequences in terms of the world in which we live may be different.
Yeah.
But the theft is still there. And he'll have to answer to God for stealing. Not the quantity, but for the act.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think he told us something once that someone was working in a place and they were telling people about stealing and then they put the
fence. Oh, that's a good one, yes. Yeah. Oh, you like this one. Yeah. No, it's not funny really, is it?
No.
The man that went to the school complaining that someone had nicked his children's pen. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's disgusting. How can these things happen in a school, you know? It's supposed to look after their property. And the teacher said, I'm very sorry. He says, it happens occasionally, you know. These people are light-fingered. They'll take things, you know. They're left lying around. He says, it's not the pen that matters. It's the principle. I can always get more pens from the office. Didn't get it. Yeah. Exactly. See? That's me, me, my. What applies to you doesn't count for me.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the world's way of thinking. Anyway, right, yes, verse, last little bit here. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Yes. Question. What can you tell God that he doesn't know already? That's really what he's saying, isn't it? Who's known God so well that you can tell him what to do and how to do it?
No.
Nobody. But he says, we've got something special. We have the mind of Christ. Yeah?
Through faith.
Sorry?
I say through faith.
Through faith, yes, yes.
Faith.
We have a mind of Christ. What he's saying is, we can start thinking the way Jesus does. His ways and his thoughts are brought to us by the Holy Spirit. We've got the way of thinking that God has. Now that's astounding. I mean, you think about that. I mean, we're down here, little tiny little ants crawling on the surface. God, the creator of the universe, and yet we can have his mind inside us. I mean, that takes some believing, doesn't it?
Yep.
But it's possible, because God can do it. Yeah? I remember, I'll just give you one last little quote about what God can do. Yeah, I remember talking to a chap that, when I worked in industry. And I was wondering about when Jesus comes back, he's going to raise the dead. All the graveyards are going to be emptied. Yeah? All the sea are going to give up their dead in it. Yeah? And all the crematoria are going to give up their dead in them. And all of that, you know. And he said, there won't be enough room. Well, that's actually, statistically, it's not true. There are more people living today than have ever lived before. Yeah? So there's still plenty of room. Anyway, but never mind about that. I didn't say that, yes. My answer was, it's not my problem, Roger. If God can make a universe to get us in it in the first place, I don't think he's got much problem about making enough space for the people afterwards, have you? God is able to do it, yes. And that's what he's saying. We have the mind of Jesus, we can start thinking God's way. And last of all, the preachers always say lastly, don't they? Finally. They never mean it, several times. Yeah. This was, before I became a Christian, I was in the genetics department at Cambridge there, a student, and one of my fellow students, a girl, a young woman, yeah, and she was a Christian, I know now, yeah, I look back, and you know, yeah, and I don't know what the conversation was, but she got talking to me, and she said, Dennis, your God is too small.
Wow.
She was dead right. And once I got to know him, I thought, wow, Lord, you're a lot bigger than I thought, aren't you? Yes. So we have the mind of Christ. We'll leave it at that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord, we're too small in our thinking, and we confine you into our ways, Lord. Forgive us for that. Lord, we're just weak human beings, Lord, with limited minds. But we thank you, Jesus. You've come to help us. Your Holy Spirit will show us things that we could never find out by ourselves. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just bless you, Lord, that we've been really privileged to be able to understand and see some of the things about you. Lord, when we meet with people who don't know you, who are in the dark. Lord, may we not act as arrogant, somehow we're superior, Lord, it's nothing to do with us. Lord, may we share as we can the love of God, the truth of Jesus, Lord, that they too may find that light being turned on for them. Lord, thank you for showing us your mercies, and bless you for your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen.